I'm thankful to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services at Azalea City. In the mid-90s, in 1996, a man by the name of Joey Mora was standing on an aircraft carrier platform, and he lost his footing, and he slipped and fell into the Iranian Sea. It was 36 hours before they realized that Mr. Mora was missing. So they immediately, when they realized that, sent out search and rescue. And the mission was what they felt, a loss. They gave up after 24 more hours in searching for Mr. Mora. And they had concluded that no one could survive without a life jacket in the Iranian Sea there for more than 60 hours. So they sent word back to Joey's parents that Joey is missing and presumed dead. However, four Pakistani fishermen found Joey some 72 hours later. When they found him, he was asleep in the water, still treading water. He was clinging to a makeshift flotation device that he had made from the pants that he was wearing. Joey, when asked what kept him in that sea alive, what kept you treading water that long? How were you able to survive? He first credited God, and then he said this, and I thought it very interesting. He said, I had such a strong desire to drink water. He was so thirsty. He was longing for water. He was longing to be able to have that drink, to be able to survive. And through it all, he was able to get his water. He was able to survive. And it made for a remarkable story. But today, I want to ask you this. Why are you here? Why are you? Why am I? Why are we here today? Well, I hope that we're here because we're singing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. I hope we're here because we're going to gather around this table thankful for the blessings we have, but also thankful for who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done, and we're able to partake and remember Him from this time until we do it with Him in heaven one day. I hope we're here to challenge ourselves. But today I want to ask you, do you still long for that water? You see, Bo came and read to us from John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, Jesus Christ said that out of us should flow that living water. The water that He provides. Have you ever been thirsty? And I'm not talking about, hey, I'd like to have a little bit something to drink because I'm a little bit parched. I'm talking about dehydrated thirsty. I'm talking about you've been out all day working and haven't drank like you should and hadn't hydrated like you should, and you get back and you're just, your mouth, you can't even swallow because you're so thirsty. Or maybe you've been at practice, football practice, whatever kind of practice it is. And I remember my freshman year at Mary Montgomery playing football there that we got one water break. Things wouldn't have to fly like that today, by the way. But we got one water break and we had one cooler and it had a spigot on it. And the coach would be able, you'd get under it and he'd pour that spigot on and you got a sip and you got up and that was it. But I learned to guzzle it while it was still coming out, and he had to make me get off of it, you know. But that's how thirsty we get, right? We're dying of thirst. We're so longing for water. Today, I don't want to talk about your physical thirst. I want to talk about your spiritual thirst. Some people are out there today in this crowd, I would imagine, treading water. You're looking for anything you can to grab hold of just to stay afloat. Deep down, you want to know why the reason you're doing that? Because you're still searching for something. You're searching for something and you haven't yet found it, but today's going to be your day. Today's the day, I can assure you, if you will listen and you will examine and you will challenge yourself, today is your day to find what you're looking for. And that's that spiritual water. The spiritual water that we read about in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we have a critical foundation of this scripture. And here's how the first part of it reads. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. I believe that to be very significant. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour or during the noonday. Now I want you to think about this. If you look back there in verse 4, he needed to go through Samaria. Well, let me tell you this. It was really not very convenient for him to go that way. Okay? It was not necessarily a place that people were going to be friendly to him. He was a Jew, they're Samaritans. And so with that, it's not geographically necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria, but he needed to go. You know why he needed to go? Because of this word right here, providence. The root word for the word providence is provide. Now, some of you may be treading water. You may have reached out to anything. Maybe somebody gave you some advice and you're floating on that. Maybe somebody said, hey, here's a little bit of money to get you to the next payday and you're floating on that. Maybe somebody said, hey, here are a few groceries. Maybe somebody said, hey, here's something that can help you in your relationship. Maybe your children are struggling and you're just reaching out for hope and you're just like Joey Mora and you're trying to hold on and tread water. Well, today, whatever reason you came here, there's a word called providence. Providentially, you came here today for whatever reason, okay? But I hope that you will leave here today knowing that the root word of providence is provide. You see, when I drink from the living water, He will provide. He will provide for everything I need. In Matthew chapter 6, we see that Jesus Christ laid out part of the Sermon on the Mount when He talked about you can't serve God and mammon or money and riches. He needs to come first. But then He goes on and He talks about the necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter. He talked about the birds of the air, how God provides for them. The lilies of the field, how they're adorned better than Solomon in his finest days. He says God takes care of all the things around us. Certainly He's going to take care of you and me. Here's the reality, though. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. So today, I'm going to ask you to examine yourself. I'm going to ask me to examine myself as we go through this story of this woman at the well and ask, am I willing to drink from what Jesus is giving? Am I willing to drink from what He is offering? Because if I am, providence, He will provide. And so today, as we go through this story, I want you to see it from this lady's point of view. Chances are that some of us see it from that point of view right now. I want you to look at verses 7 and 8 as we continue reading in John chapter 4. A woman of Samaria. Now, Jesus is at Samaria. Don't miss this time. He's at this well in Samaria. Being a Jew, He had to go through there, and it was for one person. I believe that with all my heart. And it's this lady right here that we're about to be introduced to. And He's there at noon. I don't know about you, but in September at 12 o'clock, it's still pretty hot. It was that way in Samaria too, okay? He's there at noon, and this lady, this woman, at noon comes to draw water. I think that's very significant, okay? She, as we see in verse 7 and 8, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So I want you to see that Jesus and this lady, number one, she come to the well alone. Why would the woman come to the well by herself? You've carried water. You've put it in a bucket and you've carried it. It's going to splash. It's going to spill. It's going to be heavy. Maybe she brought two buckets that day. Maybe she's got a yoke of some sort that she's going to carry it on. I don't know, but it's going to be some hard work. She also came in the hot part of the day. I think that's very significant. And she didn't come with any help. Why? Maybe there's a lot of reasons. I'm going to suggest some. Maybe she came because others had excluded her. Maybe she came to the well without anybody because she didn't have anybody. Maybe they excluded her and they had cut her out of her life. Maybe because of the lifestyle she was living, they had gossiped about her so much that she didn't want to be around anybody. She didn't want to be the butt of the joke anymore. And so she says, "I'm going to go when nobody else goes." And lo and behold, the one that could help her more than anything was at the well. Perhaps she came because people had turned their back on her. Nobody wants to help me. Nobody wants to be there for me. And I'm alone in life. For whatever reason, she comes to the well carry these heavy buckets of water, and she does it alone. Perhaps you came here today alone. Maybe you feel alone. You know, sometimes we all get like Elijah. You know, and we feel sorry for ourselves, and I'm not saying that you're feeling sorry for yourself, but sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, I do. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself. Hey, you know, maybe I'm the only one that cares. Maybe I'm the only one, and you know, that's just a silly thing, a silly state to be, but we've been there maybe. Elijah felt that way. He said, "Hey, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal," and God said, "No, you're not." Well, see, maybe you came here alone today, but I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. That woman came to the well alone, but she wasn't alone. Because Jesus had to go through Samaria. And I want you to know Jesus is going through your Samaria right now. And He's waiting on you right now. And in a little bit, when we extend this invitation, He'll be up here waiting on you right now. Today, you do not have to be alone because Jesus is here. And He's willing to be with you. Jesus is at the well of loneliness for you, for me, and for all those who are seeking Him. But another thing to point out in this story about this lady is she came to the well with walls. Look back at verse 6. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from His journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." As we look at this verse, we realize that she walked this distance to get to this water in the heat of the day, as we mentioned a moment ago. Why would she do that? Why wouldn't she come in the early morning hours? Why wouldn't she do it like most women did? Maybe because it was at this time that the village news was talked about. You know, that water keg talk, you know, when you're by the water at work, you hear about that in the office or whatever, that people are going to catch up on the football, or they're going to catch up on the latest news or whatever's going on in the world. The water cooler talk, right? Well, they're at the well. Maybe these ladies gather at the well and they're talking about, "Hey, do you hear who's getting married next week? Hey, did you hear who got pregnant? Hey, have you heard that so-and-so are having marriage problems? Hey, have you heard that those children of so-and-so, they are just awful, they are misbehaving? Have you heard about that church down the street? They don't love anybody, they don't care for anybody. Have you heard about this lady who's got all these men in her life, and now she's living with somebody?" You know what all those comments do? Hey, maybe they're true, right? Maybe they are true. One of the biggest falsities, one of the truest false statements a person can make about gossip is this. Well, it's not gossip, I'm telling the truth. Well, that's a lie. And I'll illustrate it this way. George gives me mint, so there may be some truth to this. Maybe I have bad breath today. Okay? He's already given me some mint, so maybe I did. I don't know. And George says, man, and he's sitting by Amy here. Hey, Amy, did you smell? He's singing, Terry's singing. Did you smell his breath? It is awful. Like he hasn't brushed his teeth in forever. Well, that may be true. But how does that build me up? See, he told the truth, but he still gossiped. And so I want you to know today that if you have said, I'm going to say this because it's the truth, I'm not gossiping, don't believe that lie. If a person has to defend themselves, then I don't need to say it, or type it, or send it, or Instagram it, or Snapchat it, or whatever else. Okay? Because you know what happens? Every time somebody talks about you and you find out about it. Every time somebody blasts you on Facebook and you find out about it. Every time somebody does it to me, a brick goes in the wall. Then another brick. Then another brick. And all of a sudden I've got all these walls and I won't let any of you in because I don't trust you and you don't trust me and so we can't get inside. Maybe she goes at noonday because she has built a wall around her life and it's impenetrable except Jesus Christ waited at noon. You see, today maybe you're here because you're a victim of gossip. And you don't know where else to go, but people have hurt you and run you down and you've built a wall around your life, around your heart. Maybe you've been guilty of or a victim of somebody saying things that or writing things or whatever and you don't know where else to turn. You know you need to worship God, but you really don't want to let yourself go. Because, hey, I've got all these walls. Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ can tear down those walls. Jesus Christ is not in the wall building business. He's in the bridge building business. And I want you to know that we must be bridge builders. And we must not be wall builders. If you think about it, there was a great chasm, a great divide between us and God when we sinned. So you know what Jesus did? He didn't come and dig the hole wider. He came and He laid down the cross. And that cross became a bridge for us to get up from one side of the chasm to the other side. And the other side is where God is. And that's where we want to be. Jesus came to build the bridge. And He's wanting to build the bridge to your heart today. Just like President Reagan said all those years ago to Mr. Gorbachev. He said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down the wall. Well, I'm going to tell you, Azalea City, I'm going to tell you, individual, if you're out there today, if you came with walls, allow Jesus Christ to tear down the wall. Thirdly, though, this lady came and she came with questions. Look at verses 9 through 12. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? She asked Jesus, or this man that she didn't know, three questions. Question number one, how do you, a Jew, ask a drink from me? Question number two, where did you get that living water? And question number three, are you greater than Jacob? I'd imagine when it comes to following Jesus Christ, you have some questions. If you've come in with a past, if you've come in with trouble, if you've come in because you're offended, you've come in because you're mad, you've come in because you're floating and treading and don't know where else to go, you've got a lot of questions. You see, we have a theme this year. It's called Renew. How do I get renewed? Well, that's question number one. How do I drink from that living water? That ought to be question number two. How do I tear down these walls? How do I build this bridge or cross this bridge? Maybe she's asked questions like, where were you, Lord? Just like maybe you've asked those questions. Why me, Lord? What am I supposed to do? Where do you want me to go? Are you there? Question after question after question. Do you love me, God? Do you care for me, God? Why am I treading water, God? Why are my bills so high? Why does my family not love you? Why do they not love me? Why do my children do this? Why am I... blah, 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 right? Fill it in the blank. I can sum up the answer to all those questions with the man who was standing at the well. You see, there are certain questions we may not know the answer to, but Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ knows exactly what you need and what I need. Joey Mora needed water. He needed water. That was his desire. Today, you and I need living water. And Jesus Christ is that answer. This woman came with a past. Verses 13 through 17, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." She came with a past, and I think we can tell from this dialogue that she was ashamed of her past. She didn't know who Jesus Christ was. She just hears Him spewing out, "Hey, give me water, and I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again." That sounds pretty good to her. And so she still wants to keep her identity on the down low, right? Because again, she's here at noonday, in the hot of the day, and Jesus says, "Hey..." Again, Jesus is going to put us to the test, guys. He says, "Hey, go home and get your husband, and y'all come back, and we're going to drink this water together." She says, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You're exactly right. You've had five of them, okay? Five of them, and the man you live with right now, he's your live-in man. He's not your husband." And she's like, "Whoa. This guy knows a lot about me, and you've got to be a prophet." I don't know what your past is. Some maybe because you've told me. But we all have pasts. We all have skeletons. We all have things in our past that we probably do not want revealed. We may have struggles, we may have heartache, we may have a lot of things we're ashamed of. That lady didn't volunteer the information to Jesus, even though He could read her heart and mind and knew everything. But see, I hear people from time to time say, "I can't submit myself because I have done so many things wrong." But I never read of a time when somebody is really willing to change their life that Jesus rejected them. The Pharisees weren't willing. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to get rid of the money. But everybody else that Jesus, Zacchaeus, who was shunned, I mean, go around the whole spectrum, Peter, James, John, all these that wanted Jesus, he allowed them to come. So don't ever think, I've done too many things wrong and I can't be forgiven. That's not true. Because the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. And His water will provide all your needs. Five exes and a live-in boyfriend. I believe she was embarrassed. I believe she was ashamed. Maybe she had just become so desperate to find happiness. She'd been looking in all the wrong places. Maybe she felt hopeless. Jesus met her at the well, right where she was in life. Today, you might have walked in here with a past. Do not let the past dictate your future. You see, because right here in the present, we're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that man, that Savior, He's the one that will make your past go away. There's one last thing I want you to see from this lady. She came alone. She came with walls. She came with a past. She came with questions. But she came there because she needed one thing. She needed water. Look at verses 27 and 28. Please don't forget why she came to the well. She came because she needed water. In verse 27, and at this point, this is Jesus now, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. You know what she did? She forgot and forsook the very thing she came to that well for. She brought her water pot. She brought her bucket. She brought what she was going to dip out of the well and put the water in and carry it back. She came there for water. But when she encountered the Messiah, she left her water pot there, and she went back in the city and said, come and see, I think I found the Christ. I don't know why you came today. I don't know. I'm guessing the majority of us came because we knew this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're here to put Him first. But chances are, some of you came because you're searching, and you're longing, and you're floating, and you're treading. You came with a past. You came with burdens. You came with a water pot. I want to ask you today to leave it right here. Because today, you found the Messiah. You found Jesus Christ. You found the One who can renew you, who can change you, who can tear down the walls, and who can make your past a bright future. When she left her water pot, you know what she did? She left her loneliness. She left her walls of separation. She left her uncertainty. She left her past. She left her water for the living water. Living water flowing from above through the Spirit of never-ending love. And I'm the first to declare my longing thirst for the water that comes from above. Living water. leads me to my goal. Now refreshing and cleansing to my soul. Truly I'm alive, and I know I can't survive. Without it, the pure waters flow. So give me water from the well that never runs dry. Give me water from the well that gives me hope when I die. Give me water from the well that never runs dry, and I will thirst no more. Today, there's water. There's water behind this wall. That water you can be immersed in. And in that process, put to death the questions. Put to death the loneliness. Put to death the walls. Put to death the past. And put to death the need for what you need the most, and that's living water. Once you're in that water and you're buried under that water, God, not me, not anybody else, takes and puts you into the blood of Jesus Christ. And once you contact the blood of Jesus Christ, all doubt is gone. All separation is gone. All loneliness is gone. All past is gone. And all thirst is gone. Today, Jesus is here. He's standing at the well. And He's waiting on you. Don't leave Him waiting. Come, right now, together, we stand and sing.